Hello and welcome to Cannon Fodder and All Things Arsenal podcast. I'm Fred.
I'm Tim.
And we are back again, baby, to talk just an absolutely, positively, just feel it deep down in your loins, big time win against Wolves in very dramatic fashion. Lots to talk about, lots of player performances to hit on, lots of just good feelings, good vibes, and this like weird little like half rivalry that kind of formed in the past month with Wolves. Definitely competitive in the sense that, you know, they were right behind us in the table, but we pulled the win out. Tim, first off, how you feeling? How you doing?
Feeling all right. Doing all right. A little tired.
Yeah.
Trying to sip on a little victory beer.
Hello.
But yeah, I'm excited. It was a good game. Obviously, we were talking about it slightly later than we normally do. That's a little bit my fault, but I mean, it's a good game to talk about. It's like all the feels, all the emotion, a lot of drama, you know, limitations on display, but also massive amounts of bollocks and everything in between.
Big dick energy, my man, from so many players out there. Like even the players we talked about last time that we want to upgrade, the Shakas, the Lacazettes. Both of those players in particular, we'll get on to him later, had very, very good games. Lacazette in particular, statistically, he's known for not shooting too much. He had like 8 shots this game. That's massive.
Yeah.
Namely the winner.
Some of them were pretty shitty shots.
Yeah, some of them weren't that great, but it's just like he wasn't playing like he normally plays. He was playing with a bit more fire, with a bit more passion, and the whole team was, and I think that was definitely bolstered and definitely influenced by the crowd and how that stadium was rocking. From the first minute, dude. And it was fun. I mean, I was just watching on my phone, but I could feel it. I could feel it from however many thousands of miles away I was watching. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump in. And speaking of those first few seconds, Tim, explain how that early Martinelli chance was not a penalty. You just go ahead and take this one and run with it and explain how that didn't even get looked at by VAR.
Well, here's the thing that they're not going to tell you. You're not going to hear those in any other podcast, but I have inside information from...
Oh, shit.
Well, I'm just saying I can't name my sources, but...
Okay.
If you have the right type of camera, there's a certain type of paranormal light kind of photo waves. and if you're sensitive enough, it's called psychometry, but if you look really closely, literally... The instant right before Semedo makes contact with Martinelli, Martinelli actually becomes a ghost. And yeah, so the there's no real actual contact. There's spiritual contact there. The physical contact is an illusion. And actually, Martinelli falling down is because he immediately, within a nanosecond, reconstituted in his physical body and he took spiritual fall damage. So, yeah, it's really, 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 really exponentially rare, but it does happen.
All right, so that makes me feel better,
Yeah, there's no way VAR could have, double-checked that. They might have seen that he did become a spiritual entity in that moment, but you got to give him that one. That's a hard one to catch.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, so
it might be. Boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-shit.
It was a great little run of play. Like I said, crowd's pumping right from the first minute. We were both watching highlights right before we started podcasting, and it's in the first 30 seconds, within the first 30 seconds of the game, that Wolves started the kickoff. We pressed. Lacazette, Saka running up, Cedric pushing up really well, Ben White winning the ball back, great pass forward, Saka into Lacazette, back to Saka, over to Martinelli. Great like pressure, which that was a theme. We'll see that, pressing Wolves into turning the ball over. And it was just a wide open chance that Martinelli doesn't even see Semedo coming, looking the side foot, and he clears him out, doesn't touch the ball. And it's just like, oh, well, okay.
Dude, I don't know what to say about it. It's just,
It's dumb, but we're going to move on because fuck the refs and Arsenal have to do things the hard way, it seems, these days.
You can say there's just too many instances to talk about it. It's like comeback to VAR every single weekend. It's just, it's exhausting. I mean, even like, you know, I listen to Football Ramble a lot and literally every single week VAR gets brought up all the time because there's just no way around it.
It's dumb. It's the same old refs year after year, same old leadership, Mike Riley in charge of the effort. Like, it's just the same old shit and it's not getting any better. It's only getting worse. Especially since the introduction of VAR in the past few years. Anyways, I think, like I said, that opening sequence, that pressure, that winning the ball back, working it nicely in the final third, that was a theme that we saw Arsenal really, really build upon this game. But I do think it's good to point out, and we can go ahead and hop into that first goal that Wolves scored. Wolves are a really good team. They came to play, and they are just that. They're a good team. They know how to play football. I thought Hwang, the guy that scored the goal, had an amazing game overall. But yeah, why don't you go ahead and walk us through how we conceded first?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one because Wolves, you're right. They are a good team. They're an organized team. They don't concede very many chances. They
second best defense in the league behind City.
Yeah, they in terms of goal conceded, yeah. But like, they really did press. You know, they pressed us pretty well, I'd say, the whole game. You know, it was a difficult game. I think we ended up having a little bit more possession than they did by the end of the game, but it was by no means, especially that first 15 minutes, like, you know, it was tough. We were making mistakes. You know, I think it took Xhaka a little while to get into the game, but you can see I don't remember exactly where the ball comes from, but I know it comes out on the left hand side and Gabriel has it and Raul Jimenez presses him really well.
Yeah.
You know, and then what's the guy who scored the goal's name? I always
keep it. It was Hwang. Little Asian looking dude. Yeah.
Well, I think he is Asian. But
yeah, that's why he looks like
it. My God. But you know, I think it's really intelligent for him too, the way he presses, because Ben White, I think, well, first of all, the way the goal is conceded, Gabriel is, I think, tries to be a little too clever. He tries to keep possession, tries to play it back to Ramsdale so we can recycle.
Yeah.
Wayne comes in, nicks the ball. Ben White's not close enough to him. Ramsdale is caught flat-footed. And then, you know, he finishes from pretty tight angle.
Great goal, honestly. It was really good. He pounced on it quick. He's fast player. And he punished us big time. Ben White, bit flat-footed. Ramsdale tried. Not much he could do in that situation. Bad for both of our center backs, but yeah.
Well, it's like Ben. It's like for Gabriel. That's a really good I think example of just inexperience. Because any other like big, just really good top center back in the league is just gonna knock that out of play.
Yeah, just kick it into the stands. That's all you
Van Dijk is just gonna come across and boom, it's booted out. It's way easier to defend a free throw right there because you can get back, you can get in shape, you can be ready for it. You know.
Yeah, and there wasn't an obvious pass on. The one pass he should have taken, he probably tried to take, but he shouldn't have played it infield. He should have played it towards the touchline back to Ramsdale's, like, you know, right side, right foot, so he could have cleared it. But you're right. When in doubt, kick it out. Ben White wasn't in position. He had just been pressed up the pitch trying to harry a striker or Podence or a midfielder or someone like that. So, yeah, it was a really sloppy goal to concede, but what I loved about the aftermath of it was, A, fans didn't boo. Fans started, like, cheering and chanting Arsenal. Before play even restarted, just to get the boys going again. And I think it's probably because of what they saw Ramsdale do. Ramsdale, you know, gets up. Gabriel, of course, makes this awful error, throws his hands up, looks dejected. Ramsdale starts clapping, goes and gives him a high five and, like, pushes him forward and says, like, get back out there, keep playing. Like, really encouraging stuff, really good. Like we talked about last week, young, inexperienced team, but all these leaders that are popping up, all these likable characters, and Ramsdale is, you know, if not already on his way to becoming one of those cult hero type people. Yeah. So I thought that was really awesome to see his reaction to that. And, you know, while Gabriel, he might've had a couple shaky moments after that, especially right after, cause probably within the next couple passages of play, Wolves were straight in again. And you remember Jimenez shot just wide, beautiful pass inside from Podence. Gabriel caught a little bit out. It was one of those things. Like we said, Wolves are a good team. It was a good pass. Jimenez is a good striker. It was a good chance. You don't want that kind of chance scored too often, or you don't want kind of that kind of chance gotten too often, I should say. But luckily it went wide, and it was definitely a big wake-up call between the goal and that passage of play right after. But I think the rest of the half, man, we got back to what we were doing, like we talked about in those opening few seconds, but we got back to what we do best right now. That's pressing high up the pitch. That's retaining possession really well. Yeah. And winning the ball back in dangerous areas and converting those into dangerous opportunities. And while we weren't always very efficient in the final third, I was really happy overall with the way we played the rest of that half. You know, we went into halftime 1-0 down still, but there were chances. There were definite chances.
Yeah, there were some chances. Yeah, you know, Martinelli had that little chance that he kind of
stabbed at. Yeah.
And, you know, and it kind of went over and wide. And there's a couple little chances for Lacazette and Saka.
Odegaard, his right foot, I think, had a shot blocked that looked pretty tasty. A good move, at least.
Yeah, I think he also had a chance that maybe he could have. I think Odegaard had a couple chances where maybe he should have shot, but he passed. And, you know, it's kind of stuff like that where, again, it's like you're seeing a little bit of the young inexperiencedness, but instead of it being a discouraging thing, I really did feel like we went in halftime, and I think we were, especially the last 20 minutes of that half, we really were on top. We had pushed them back, and it still felt like, okay, we're probably going to get a draw out of this. And so when we came back from halftime and we're, you know, working the way we did, and then finally get that goal late in the game when we had really made some chances too, you know, like in the second half, you know, I would say Wolves came out and did play a lot. They started the second half well.
This whole, the way them scoring that type of a goal in the opening, what was it, like 12, 15 minutes? Like it really, like it put the game in their hands completely. Cause like we mentioned, second best defense in the league. They love to sit back and defend a 1-0. They've had so many 1-0 results this season. So it was daunting from a statistical sense, thinking like, oh man, this team doesn't concede. They love to sit on a 1-0 and just hit teams on the counter. So yeah, like you said, they came out second half and still posed a threat. They've got great players. Honestly, Wang had a great game. Potence is, I think, a really quality player. Maybe he doesn't have the end product part quite ironed out, but as far as traveling and passing through the thirds, he's a really, really handy player to have around in transition. We got carved open a couple times, but I think it's kind of one of those things. You run the risk of getting carved open on the counter like that when you're pressing forward so much like we were. I really liked that, like we talked about last week, we stuck with that 4-3-3, Odegaard and Xhaka as those kind of attacking eights, and Partey sitting at the base of midfield right in front of the back four. We stuck with that. You know, we talked about Xhaka off air a little bit. I thought he had just a fantastic game overall. I think I don't want to go too much further without mentioning, especially getting into the second half and getting into, you know, our goal. He's playing out of position. He's had a rocky career as an Arsenal player. It is completely fair to say. Emotional, all sorts of stuff. He's that type of player, but I love the fact that, yes, he can be upgraded on. That's, no one's doubting that. No one's arguing that he can't. And I'm really like excited to see what we do with that position, you know, because we see how effective Odegaard is on the right side. You know, what if we have a player like that, or, you know, whatever else, just an upgrade on that side. But Shaka's being asked to do things he's not comfortable with, and he's being asked to play out of position, and he's not complaining. He's not arguing, and he's doing his best. And some really good moments and some really good passing, some really good dribbles, actually. Nutmeg two or three people this game.
Yeah.
It was great to see. And it just like, yeah, you know, we're outgrowing him, but I love watching him as not just a mental and kind of emotional leader of this team, but also just like put that into practice on the pitch and really give a really great effort. But yeah, getting into our equalizer, that was the pattern of the game. We pressed, we had most of the possession, most of the chances, played really good football. They still had the odd counterattack up the pitch.
Well, how did you feel about those substitutes?
Dude, I thought the substitutes, they were brilliant. I think Pepe came on in about the 70th minute. I thought that's a good time to make a sub when you're still chasing a lead. Yeah.
I felt a little awkward when Eddie came on.
I did too. I liked who he came on for, if that makes sense.
We took
off a right back and put on a striker. So like that looks and feels nice. But Eddie's not had the best time recently. you know, hasn't looked quite as interested. And then, you know, there are debates about his overall quality as a player. Dude, I thought the subs, at least like the type of subs that we made, the times that we made them, I thought they were really awesome. And we saw how effective they were and how yeah. great a performances they both had. I think it was what, the 84th minute we finally got that equalizer?
No, I think it was like the 82nd minute or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was you know, in between the 80 and 85th minute. But, you know, it's good work from Eddie. He, you know, runs down the right-hand side, kind of cuts in, gets into the box. And it's like when you watch it in slow motion and then watch it speeded up, I feel like it gives it like more weight, you know, because he passes the ball in, or, you know, kind of cuts it into Pepe.
Yeah.
And it is like the margins are so fine. Like the defender was so close to nipping that ball out.
Yeah.
Like really. When it came behind his foot, like it came so close to just hitting the back of his foot. Mm. And then for Pepe to get that ball, and it's got a good bit of pace on it, and the turn. And then, you know, as he does that little pirouette, he turns. His shot is really interesting, I feel like, to go near post, because he kind of has to cut across his body more.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was a beautiful goal. The speed of it, just all of it. It's going to go up there for me as, like, probably, like, maybe one of the best goals we've scored all season.
I think it's definitely up there. And I think that type of finish from Pepe, that moment, that pirouette, the finish, that's the kind of stuff you can't coach. That's the kind of stuff that Pepe has that you can't teach a player. That's raw instinct and athleticism and talent. We've seen him struggle with the other parts of the game, with the coachable parts, so with his positioning, with his first touch at times. He's been hugely frustrating because you see that talent in there. But man, when he is focused, and Arteta has said since coming back from AFCON, he's seen a different Pepe, a more focused Pepe. Man, I just really feel like he could be huge for us in the run-in. And so that goal was just obviously awesome to get the equalizer. But I really hope it just, like, I don't know, I hope Pepe can just kick on from here, and because we're going to need him rest of the season, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we score that equalizer. It's awesome. Like, it's legitimately awesome. And then I feel like from then we really, really pressed. We worked super hard. Like,
not satisfied with the draw. It was awesome to see.
It was awesome to see Arsenal, like, literally, like, pinning Wolves in. And I mean, they did have a couple little dangerous moments in the second half. I don't want to feel like it was all us.
No.
Huang almost scored.
Pedro Neto came on, and he's been out for a while with injury. And, dude,
he's good, dude.
I want to buy him really bad. He's like that. I mean, honestly, Diogo Jota type, you know, similar, like, wide / central kind of player, but he's got a bit of pace on him. So he's not quite a number 10, not quite a number 9. He's like this weird, can play anywhere across the front three type player. And man, he looks very, very good. I don't know exactly how he'd fit into our system, like at whose expense or like where he'd play, but I don't really care. Like, I feel like players like him, just that raw talent and instinct. That shot he had laid on that just barely nicked Gabriel's shin and went wide. Dude, Ramsdale was beaten. Like, that is a game-saving block by Gabriel. So you're right to say, dude, they had chances. That pattern of the game, us pressing, having possession most of the time, creating most of the chances, but Wolves being a quality team, you know, it was just, honestly, it was a great game at that point.
Yeah, like, I was literally just about to say, it was just a really good game. It was exciting. It was technical. Yeah. You know, it's like Odegaard played awesome. Saka played awesome. Like, we got to see so many great moments from both teams. Yeah, I don't know. It was a good, but getting into the literally like the last minute of stoppage time and after they literally started wasting time in like the 25th minute of the game with such bullshit from Wolves after they gave everyone so much shit,
yep,
you know, for celebrating and all the other stuff in the first game, to see them literally start time wasting. And it was so frustrating too, like with the commentators for the game, for the American feed, they were like, well, you know, Arsenal can't be mad, you know, they did the same thing in the first game. I'm like, well, we were down to 10 men and we started time wasting like in the 75th minute.
It might have been a little bit earlier than that, but also, Dude, we got yellow cards for it. Gabriel got a yellow card like earlier in that game. Like you'll see a yellow card for time wasting, maybe like a goalkeeper taking a minute at a goal kick or something like that. But you'll see that in like the 90th minute or something, like inconsequential type yellow cards. I think I remember Gabriel getting like booked in the 65th minute for time wasting. And I'm just like, you just don't see that. So yeah, like I did find that annoying that the commentators were like, oh, well, they can't expect Wolves to do any different. Well, it's like, yeah, well, at least give them a card if they're going to do the same thing. That's what you did to us literally 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was just bullshit, dude. And it's just like, I don't want to say karma, because it's like, I feel like as soon as you start talking about that, then something terrible is going to happen to Arsenal.
Fuck them, dude. No, that's Watford. Karma. Nah, but it's like Wolves, dude. Fuck them.
But it was just like their time wasting is what gave us the extra time,
dude. How beautiful is that
score? Yeah, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And too, it's one of those goals for Lacazette, which, like, you know, talking about Pepe, Lacazette has not been scoring very many goals, and nope. The goal he did score was extremely fortunate.
Yeah, he technically didn't get credited with
it. It's an own goal technically from the keeper, but it's one of those things where you need that little bit of luck. You need that just favor turning your way in seasons like this to accomplish what you want. You know, like you can think about, you know, I always think about that Man City goal that Vincent Kompany scored, that 1-0 versus
Tottenham? Or was it Chelsea? It was someone big. I know what you're talking about.
It was like the last 5 minutes of the game. He scores that absolute thunderbolt.
Like a 25-yard plus.
Yeah, from carrying the ball in the midfield. And it was like that. It was that 1-0 result that like put them over Chelsea or put them over Liverpool, and they won the league that year.
Yeah.
You know, this is like three or four seasons ago.
Something like that,
4 seasons ago. And it was just one of those things where you're just like, you need a little bit of luck. You need someone to come up and do something, you know? And Pepe putting that pass into Lacazette and him, you know, I don't know. It was insane. Like, I lost my mind when we scored that goal.
Yeah, seriously. What I liked most about the way we chased this game, you know, clock's winding down. We did get that like 5 minutes of stoppage time or whatever it was. Turned into six. No, it was like 6 minutes of stoppage time. Because yeah, like you said, they were time wasting. Semedo went down with a hamstring injury and was about 3 yards from the sideline and wouldn't get off the pitch. Like, wouldn't leave. And so I think they literally added 2 more minutes on. And like you said, that was the 2 minutes in which we ended up scoring the winner. So that poetic justice is just awesome. Yeah, that like relief, that like validation for how great of a game Lacazette really did have. And like I said, there are moments, there are things he does still that you can see, yes, we need a better striker if this project's going to go to the next level. You know, if like, oh yeah, we might make top four this season, but we're trying to be a club that is consistently top four, like cemented in the top four, and potentially in years to come challenging for titles. You know, that's the goal, that's the aim.
Yeah.
But Lacazette had a great game. And so it was just awesome to see him rewarded. And dude, the facials, like what it meant, like dude, the celebrations were just freaking awesome. Odegaard just sprinted towards the fans after he had been sprinting all fucking game.
No one runs more than him, dude.
Nobody. He ran over 12 kilometers that game. He's involved in everything we do going forward, at least on the right-hand side, creatively, all this good progressive play. But God, he runs his ass off. And you just saw what it meant to Lacazette, to Saka, to the fans, dude, to fucking Ramsdale. We'll get on to a little bit of him later. I want to talk about the Aaron Ramsdale video that Arsenal put out that was just really entertaining. But, dude, it was just, it's a huge moment. This team needed that. We've had all these nearly moments, these nearly performances. You know, the Manchester City result that we ended up losing 2-1, but having played so, so well. Unluckily getting a man sent off and then unluckily conceding in the last minute of the game to lose and just got nothing from it. And you're like, man, that felt like this watershed moment for this young team to really grow into and like get a result against a team like City. But this felt like it's a top four rival. We need to keep winning our games in hand to kind of keep pace for top four and kind of cement, you know, like this chase that we've got going on. And just Lacazette getting that goal, getting rewarded for his hard work. Pepe not only coming on and scoring that beautiful equalizer, but that lovely assist he played, and just the whole team, the way that, like, this is what I was getting at earlier, the way that we didn't just start lumping balls into the box and just center backs start just hitting it up the pitch, you know, at their first opportunity, you know, we kept playing the same way. We kept playing our triangles, pass and move, pass and move. Pepe's movement in that goal was beautiful. The way he runs over, keeps the ball alive, plays it into Odegaard. Obviously, Odegaard with the just smooth as nut butter, close control. And Pepe makes that beautiful, beautiful run inside, gets the ball back, passes it to Lacazette. Huge credit to Lacazette, that little flick pinned up against that center back, little flick around the corner back to Pepe, then makes the run and just pass back from Pepe is perfect. It's weighted perfectly, not too hard, not too soft. Yes, Lacazette makes a little bit of a mess of the finish, and you got to think, too, Saka's waiting on the far post just to tap that in if the keeper doesn't get his hand on it and knock it in. So, man, it was a huge moment. I've watched it, like I said earlier, probably like 15 to 20 times, literally since the game. It was awesome. It's one of those moments that, like, in the off season, and you're just missing Arsenal, and you just decide to look up some highlights up late, a few beers in you watch those highlights back, and you're just like, oh my God, that was so much fucking fun. Like, that game was so great. All the context, all this bullshit with Wolves and the celebration police and all this stuff, it was just awesome. It's a fucking great game. It really was.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude.
I think we'll leave the game there. That sums it up pretty well. I know we're late getting to this pod, but we needed to touch on all that stuff. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk our men of the match, our mans of the match, whatever you want to call it, and do a quick sneak peek looking ahead to this Sunday's game against Watford. Alrighty, we're back. Man, fun game. So many performances to pick out. We've already talked on a few, but man. All right, man of the match, you go first. We didn't talk about this. I don't know who you're going to say. Hope you don't take my pick, but go for it. Who's your man of the match?
Honestly, for me, it's Odegaard. And
fucker.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I don't know.
Sorry. Go, baby, go.
Well, we can just, then those are save time and we can both talk about them. Because the reason I say that is we touched on it in the first half a little bit. He just, everything, not everything, but so much of what we did, so many great chances, you know, playing out of pressure, you know, cycling the ball around. He's just involved in so many of the best things that we're doing right now. Yeah. And you look at the juxtaposition, you have Xhaka on the left and you have Odegaard on the right. And when the ball goes into Odegaard, it moves like fluid. Yeah. He's just so fluid with the way he touches the ball,
silky,
the way he receives the ball, how he passes, how he moves. He's so quick. He's always moving. He's always open. You know, the way he's able to beat a guy, it's just, and he's not the best version of him. You know what I mean? He's going to get better.
The potential there. Yeah.
And so it's
you can see another level. Yeah,
exactly. You're watching him play the last few games and just seeing him kind of get into better and better form. I just look at it and I'm like, oh, like, you look at, it's like we talked about, you look at Xhaka and you see his limitations. You see how slow he is. You know, you see how long it takes for him to make decisions a lot of times on the ball. You know, the extra touches that he takes.
He's not a final third player. Like, Xhaka's never been that. He's playing out of position, you know.
But even when he, you know, but it's still, though, it's like, it doesn't matter what position he's on in the field, it takes him so long to turn. It takes him so long
to
take a touch, you know, like, Odegaard's first touch is perfect. Like, he already knows where he wants to put the ball. And, you know, the way he's able to flip the ball over and around people, he's so, so good. And
yeah, great. I think Madrid fucked up.
Well,
in a way, in a way.
Yeah, but it's like, they have so many players like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, that's just how those bigger clubs are.
Well, I mean, also you got to think about the time he came into Madrid. He never got a fair shake at it. He never got a real shot, I don't think. He came in when they were winning back-to-back Champions Leagues. You know, like that kind of era. Right before that, I think, is when he went in. And so, yeah, he's not going to break into that team. It was a silly move for him. You can't like shame a 16, 15-year-old for going to Real Madrid if they're interested. But I don't know, man. You just see, like, I know it's kind of a joke, but he was nicknamed the Norwegian Messi. Not saying he's that good. Not saying he will be that good, because Messi's literally the best player the world has ever seen of all time. But there's real similarities in style at times, you know, especially if Odegaard can start scoring. But just the close control, the quick nippy passing, the quick nippy dribbling, like, he's just a lot of fun to watch. I've always really liked him. And even through his teething problems early this season and, you know, first like few weeks on loan last season, I see the talent. I see the type of player he is. And like I've said in the past, like he's one of my favorite types of players to watch. I loved Ozil in his prime. Loved Santi Cazorla. Loved Thomas Rosicky. Loved, I don't know, just like those like nippy attacking midfield types that just have good close control and good technique. Eye for a pass, eye for a goal. You know, we've talked about that's still a, you know, an area Odegaard needs to improve, but he's just been so much fun to watch. And I think you look at some of the main differences, you look at some of the similarities between him and Ozil, not just their initials and their dominant foot and their creative play, but dude, their work rate and effort could not be more starkly contrasted. Like, it's so different. Ozil never ran around. This isn't to shit on him. Odegaard, like we said, nobody runs more than him. He ran over 12 kilometers this game. He's leading the press. He's running his ass off every moment. There was a moment late in this game, right after we had gotten the winner and we had booted the ball into the corner, and it was going to be one of those like classic, like hold up the ball and just time waste, not time waste, but you know, yeah, 'cause the ball's in play. And Eddie's very obviously offside. Odegaard plays it to him. Eddie didn't check his run. Odegaard instantly just sprints. It's literally like the 97th minute. He just sprints, and he would have gotten there, I think, ahead of the Wolves players if Eddie wouldn't have gone and touched the ball. He just did not stop. And after the final whistle, he just looked shattered physically. But man.
Yeah. Like, well, it's see when everyone's celebrating the Laka goal, he's literally like bent over like, oh my God, I'm dying.
Like literally, you know what I mean? He just ran his butthole off the whole game.
But it's like, to me, he exemplifies everything that Arteta is building into Arsenal. He wants these highly skilled, technical, heart-like players who have all the mercurial talent you could ever want in a player. Yeah. But they have that element. They work hard, you know. And I don't know if anybody right now works harder than Odegaard does in the team. The way he's constantly talking, the way he's communicating.
Yeah. Leading.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been super impressed with them, especially the last 3-4 games. And I'm just, I don't know, if he can keep up what he's doing, I think it's going to make Partey better. I think it's going to make, you know, the players in front of him better with the way he talks, the way he moves. Because it's like, I think sometimes Partey, it's like he just needs a little bit of direction sometimes. I know that seems kind of weird, but it's like sometimes when I watch him play, I'm just like, he needs somebody kind of around him a little bit to play off of.
He needs a big personality around him. Honestly, it's a great point you're making. Look at him at Atletico. Look at the players around him.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, he played well too. You know, there's so many times in midfield where
he had a great game. Yeah.
He was able to get us out of so much pressure because he can just drop his shoulder and like do freaking Jedi mind tricks. And you're like, oh, wow, we're 20 yards up the pitch. Wow.
What happened?
Like, yeah, he's just insane, you know, but it's like, I just feel like if him and Odegaard can kind of get more on the same page and they can kind of communicate more, I feel like it's just going to make our midfield so much more solid. Then if we can get that left-hand side sorted out,
yeah,
I think we could potentially just have a really, really solid midfield for next season. Like, super solid.
Really solid. Yeah, it's not, like we've said, it's not hard to see the Xhaka upgrade. As good of a game as he had, he got his props. We still need to upgrade. If you have a, I don't know if the exact like Odegaard type would work as well, because, you know, Xhaka still drops in and out of possession forms that double pivot in defense, at least, you know. So instead of, you know, Odegaard's this kind of 8-10 hybrid attacking midfielder. Maybe you need more of a 6-8 kind of hybrid midfielder on the left side that can still get forward. I mean, I'm thinking he's not great off the ball. We've talked about him before. Maybe, you know, off air, a Yuri Tielemans type, you know, really good going forward. Got a bit to learn, but can still, he's used to playing in a double pivot, you know, next to an Ndidi or someone like that. It's easy to dream. It's fun to dream about like the next steps for this team and the progression of like improving certain positions. But it's really encouraging to see Arteta finally get to play what you would think is the kind of preferred formation for him. You know, this 4-3-3 pressing style, very Liverpool, a little bit of Man City kind of thrown in there. But it's very much Arteta's own thing with the way he uses his fullbacks, the way he attacks in lopsided ways. Also, shout out to Cedric again. He had another really solid game. Nothing super spectacular, but we're used to him being bad, and he was anything but that this game. All right, dude, let me hit you with mine. And as you were talking, I'm torn. Like, I'm really torn, but I'm giving my man of the match to Lacazette. I think I've got to. He can be upgraded on. We've said that a billion times. He had such a good game. There are moments, there are things, there are shots that are a little bit wild when he could have laid the ball off. But we've criticized him so much in the past for not taking enough shots, for not being aggressive and lethal. And it's really easy to forget, especially if you need to go back, watch the highlights. Dude, he had some really classy moments in this game. Yes, he presses, he harries, he wins fouls, he moves us up the pitch. But he had a couple little pirouette, he iced Ruben Neves like 2-3 times, like real bad. One in particular, like a nice little pirouette around him. Plays a little triangle between him, Odegaard, and Partey, gets the ball back, you know, steps around the corner, gets that left-footed shot off that, you know, a couple of people complained about. But once again, I feel like this game and getting that own goal/goal at the end, I think it's going to be so massive for his confidence. And like, we need him to step up and score. We've been carried this season by Martinelli, Saka, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, like been carried by the young guns. Especially in the goal and assist department. But man, if Lacazette can really find his shooting boots and get the confidence that this result and this performance, this game, the way he led from the front and the way he did look a constant threat. He could still be shaking off some cobwebs in terms of shooting, but we've seen him be a lethal finisher in the past. He's got a fucking cannon when he's playing well. We've seen it for years on end, you know? Yeah. So I think I have to give it to Lacazette. I wanted to say Partey, who had another fantastic game. I thought about Ben White, who I thought had a very, very good game, especially progressing the ball and dribbling. The way he can step up into midfield is really awesome. Lacazette deserves it, I think, after this one, after that performance. And hopefully it's just, like I said, builds his confidence and he can keep taking shots and, not just connecting play and drop it into midfield, but really, you know, get back up the pitch and pose a threat in the box. And, hopefully it's just good stuff for us going forward. But, man, what a game.
Yeah, dude.
What a freaking game. This is the kind of one that lives long in the memory. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's going to be one of those games where we look back at the end of the season, especially if we get top four. We're going to be like, hell yeah. That was a game that, like, and two, I think it's really, really significant that it's also the first game since Arteta's been manager that we have come from a losing position to win a game. So,
I
think it's important.
I forgot about that. Yeah. It's not just the emotion around the game, it's not just the whole fucking, we've mentioned it, the celebration police thing, Ruben Neves coming out after that game, Connor Cody coming out after that game, talking about how we shouldn't have celebrated it. Dude, just by the way, on that note real quick, mentioned it earlier, Arsenal media team are brilliant to put a camera on Aaron Ramsdale. He's such a likable, shit-housing, awesome character that you love him if he's on your team, hate him if he's not kind of guy, is what I would imagine at least. Dude, there are two, you don't get to see it as clearly. I've seen a couple edits of videos and stuff like that. He very obviously, if you go back and watch that video on Arsenal's YouTube channel, after we scored the equalizer, sprints to the center circle, jumps, fist pumps, And literally, as you know, Arsenal players are off in the corner celebrating, hugging, all that stuff. Wolves players are walking back out to the halfway line. He points at Ruben Neves and just shakes his fists and make a really like flamboyant expression. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love him. And then it got even worse. Literally after we score the winner, after the final whistle blows, he goes, high five to Ben White, high five to Gabriel maybe, keeps running, makes a point to run directly in front of Ruben Neves and do a very exaggerated, in his face, just two fists in the air, and then give him a stare down as he runs by him. And I'm just like, oh my God, Aaron, I love you so much. Can you please have my babies or can I have yours or whatever? I don't know how it's going to work, but just I love you.
Yeah.
Dude, likable team. It's just, I said it last week, this team is fun. It's fun to watch. It's easy to be invested in these lot. And if we get top four, I almost don't want to say it. I don't want to jinx it, even though like that's not a thing, but still, like, how are you feeling about top four? We can check back in on the table. I'll look it up. Tell me, how are you feeling after this result, looking ahead to Watford? What are your thoughts?
I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we can do it. I think we're in position to do it. And honestly, I feel like with the, you know, obviously we had a terrible January, but February has been good for us. You know, we won all of our games. And I feel like we've put ourselves in position and we're building momentum. And so when I look at Tottenham, I'm not worried about them.
Yeah.
That game we have with them, I'm not worried about it. I absolutely think we can go beat them.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the game at Chelsea and all the upheaval that's going on with them. And oof, I just think,
yeah,
you know, that's no matter what, that's going to be a tough game, you know? So
yeah, quality teams
in terms of games in hand, you know, but then I look at the rest of our schedule and I'm like, I think we are going to get top four, you know, I just look at United. I look at West Ham. I look at Spurs, and I'm just like, I just feel like we have more momentum and more solidity than those teams do right now. And I think we're going to finish out the season really strong.
Yeah. It's a point we made last week. I think it's massive for the likes of, you know, Cedric, Eddie coming off the bench, especially Pepe coming off the bench. It's we have this small trimmed down squad after January, the transfer window where we just shipped out, didn't bring anybody in, but it's, we only have the league to focus on it, and you could see the group is tight knit. They're emotionally invested into what the manager's trying to do, what the team's trying to do, and it's just this hyper focus. You can feel it watching the game. You can tell the fans are bought in, and we're all pulling and pushing whatever in the same direction. And like, yeah, I think we'll get it. I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to jinx. I don't want to take anything for granted. It's still going to be tough. We still need to play United as well. They need to come to the Emirates, but I think we're in with a shout, a really good shout with our games in hand, to potentially even push for third. And who knows what's going to happen with Chelsea. I doubt anything this season, but, you know, with Roman Abramovich selling the club, announcing he's selling the club, who knows? Like, he's put in between 1.5 and 2 billion pounds into that club in the last 19 years, really taking them from a nothing club into the most successful club in recent history. Literally, they've won everything. Who knows what they're going to be like without a sugar daddy going forward. Obviously, they got great players. The club's been built into this big thing now. But yeah, I'm excited not just for this season, not just for the how it's going to end. I'm excited for the project. And who knows if a Chelsea kind of drops off a bit and Tottenham drops off a bit now that Kane, he's going to get older. His ankles are going to fall apart at some point. Same with Son. Like, with that, their rebuild not going well, who knows what's going to happen in the summer. Conte looking like he doesn't really want to stick around. Like, I think there's an opportunity in the league in general for us. United are always going to have money. City are always going to have money. Liverpool don't have a lot of money. They seem to use the money they have well, and they've got a culture and a squad and a manager and like ideology that has brought them a lot of success and competitiveness in the past few years. And it seems to be sustaining with additions like Luis Diaz. Looks like a quality player, but I see an opportunity for us to kind of get in the mix. And so, yeah, that's what I'm hoping we can do, man. Watford on Sunday. We talked a bit off air. How are you feeling about that one?
We're going to win 3-0.
3-0. Shit. Yeah. I think we're going to score goals. But like I said earlier, Ismail Assar's back and he's a scary player, a player I wouldn't mind owning. Arsenal buying, not sure where he'd fit in. We already got a pretty solid right winger in Saka, but yeah, they pose, I think they're going to pose us a lot of threat on the counter. Dennis has had a good half season over there. He looks pretty quality. Josh King on his day can be really good. And like I said, Sarr is great on the counter. So who knows? But dude, get this win. We will have had 9 days rest before it. So that's great to recoup, especially Odegaard. You hope you've been pampered. Raring to go again. It's good to have the rest. If we can just get this win, keep some distance, build a bit of distance, you know, catch the likes of United, even though we've still got the 3 games in hand. Then I think we have another decent layoff after that. And then we've got 3 games in a week.
Yeah.
And so it's really, that's going to be a really like hyper-focused, tough, difficult with a small squad, like going to need these sub players, these bench players, these fringe players, the Pepes, the Cedrics, the Eddies, the, all those guys really, really chip in. Hopefully Tomiyasu can find fitness, before that week. And yeah, we can push forward, but oh, fun podcast. These games are fun. Mm. These are the most fun type of games to talk about. And, it's just fun to be an Arsenal fan.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Tim, what you want to leave the people with before we sign off of this bitch?
Up yours.
Up yours, Ruben Neves. Up yours, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Jose Sa, Nelson Semedo, get the fuck off the pitch next time, you bitch. All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys. We'll talk to you later. Smith Rowe again. Aubameyang, Saka. And Odegaard in the box. Saka. Smith Rowe again. Aubameyang, Saka. And Odegaard.